Thank you very much. It's good to see each of you here today. We have some visitors and we have some folks that haven't been in a while. We're glad to have you back. Thank you for coming. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Same text we started with last week. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means the breath of God. When you speak, you use your breath to make words. Scripture is the word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Last Sunday, I started a message on the Bible, the Word of God, and we looked at this scripture. God's Word is guided by His Spirit through holy men of old to write down the message from God to man. Just like God spoke verbally to Moses on Mount Sinai, and then Moses came down and told the people what God said. God superintended His words to the prophets and to the people of God who wrote the Word of God. He guided them. He preserved His Word. It is forever settled in heaven. We can have assurance that we have the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25, 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God has been preserved for us, and it is forever settled in heaven. And God has made the word of God. It has endured forever, and it will endure forever. The precepts of God were written down by Moses in Deuteronomy 11 and verse number 18. The rules of conduct for Israel and for mankind were given by God. In Romans 10:8, the Bible says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." God has given us His word. Most people know something of the Word of God. They've heard sermons. They've seen TV preachers. They've read the Bible. They've had someone witness to them from the Romans road and tell them how to be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Praise God for that message. Last Sunday, I was giving you a list of what the Word of God is, and I got about halfway through my sermon, so I decided to go back and study all that again and add some more to it and preach it today. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Light guides our steps. We need light. If you get in the dark, even in your home, you can trip and fall over something. Especially if your wife moved furniture around that day while you were off and gone, you know. And I have stumped my foot and my leg and my arms. And nowadays, my arms, if I bump them, I'm like Pete now. They bleed, you know. I've got to show off my wounds. And it's so hot I can't function. That's good. Right where I meant to put it. You see my arms? I bleed all the time because I bump into things. And that's, I leave some light on because I leave my TV on all night long. If I wake up, I watch TV a little bit and get back to sleep. And it has enough light that I can get up and go to the restroom without running into a whole lot of stuff, but I still bump stuff. Light gives you safety in the dark. We're to walk circumspectly, and that means carefully. There are many pitfalls out there. There are many dangers out there in the world. The enemy is Satan, and he's alive and well on planet Earth. And we must be careful as we walk through this world that we don't get caught in dangerous positions. And the Word of God is the light that will guard our way and reveal our way. The Word is also nourishment. We read the Bible, it's like eating a meal for our body. It is nourishment for us spiritually, that we find the spiritual food we need to be able to rightly discern the Word of God and avoid the dangers of violating God's Word. Paul met with the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20, 28. And he said to them that, I've warned you day and night for 3 years with tears. He said, take heed unto yourselves and over the flock that you, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Thanks. Well, he put it up on the wall for me. That's bigger than my Bible I got right here. To feed. That's what the word pastor means. The pastor is to feed the flock. He's an under-shepherd of God. I am responsible for feeding you from the Word of God so that you are equipped for what you're going to face. By coming to church today, you'll be strengthened for what you're going to face tomorrow when you go out in the workforce and the world in which you live. God is able. God's Word's also a tool for building. The Bible says in Jeremiah that it is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. You know, when Nehemiah and the people of Israel were going to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem where it had been torn down and put up new gates and repair the homes that were there, when they were doing all that, they first had to get all the rubble out of the way. Where those walls had been collapsed and were laying around, they couldn't rebuild. They had to get the rubble out of the way first. And the Word of God gets the rubble out of your life so that you can build and grow forward with the Lord. The Word of God is also a weapon. It is a tested weapon. In Ephesians 6:17, the Bible is explaining to us the armor of God that we're to put on in order to fight against the wiles of the devil. And we have a helmet, which is the knowledge of salvation, and our breastplate is truth that guards our vulnerable parts. And there's a shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only offensive weapon in the armor that we're to put on, whether it's our feet or our loins girt about with truth or the shield of faith, all of those are defensive weapons against Satan and his enemies. We are strong with the power of the Word of God to defeat the enemy. The Bible is our sword. It is also like a surgeon's scalpel in Hebrews 4:12. Number one, it is living and powerful, able to pierce into the dividing of the joints and the marrow. A surgeon's scalpel can go into the heart and do surgery and repair and save someone's life and repair the damage so they can live healthy. And God's Word is like that. The Word of God can go into your heart and it can help you remove what's wrong and it can equip you with what is right so that you can walk with God and have eternal life. The Word is both an alarm clock and a reminder of what to do and what not to do. We read the Word, it wakes us up. It makes us aware of what we've been doing. It makes us aware of what we're going to face in the future. And it gives us the strength to continue for the Lord. People hear the Word and walk away from it. You might be here today and you may hear the gospel about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died for you so that you can be saved. But instead of believing, you turn away, whether it's because of your sin, or whether it's because of fear, or whether it's because of a different religion, or whatever it may be. Understand something. You won't be able to get away from the love of God and the Word of God. It'll be in your mind, and it'll deal with your heart, and you'll see your need to come back and to be saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll work on you, the Word of God. Conviction by the Holy Spirit. The Word is like seeds that are planted. Psalmist said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, bringing their sheaves with them." We plant seeds and we see them grow and they produce fruit. And the Word of God planted as a seed in our heart can germinate and bring forth fruit unto God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The more you hear the Bible, the more apt you are to have faith to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And the hope of salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible is mighty in its influence. It is profitable to instruct us in every way. Let's look at two verses in Psalm. Psalm 119, verse 98. This long psalm is the longest chapter. Psalm 119, verse 98. "Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than my teacher, than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." God's word equips the believer with mighty power to be wiser than men of great learning, because you follow what the Bible teaches instead of what secular wisdom brings. We have the wisdom of God. It's profitable for instruction for believers. Unbelievers reject the Word of God. Believers rejoice in the Word of God. It is, as the psalmist said, sweeter to our mouths than honey, the words of God that bring us the blessings of knowledge of who He is. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 16, "They mocked the messengers of God and despised His word, and the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy." Back in the day, Jeremiah wrote the Word of God in a scroll, and it was taken to the king and read to the king. And he sat in his summer house, and there was a fire, and he cut the pages of Jeremiah's prophecy out and threw them in the fire. The servant came back and told Jeremiah what the king did. And God said to Jeremiah, "Write it again." And he wrote it again. God was going to fulfill that prophecy, and that king would pay the price for his arrogance against the Word of God. God has blessed us, but there is a danger in this world of people rejecting the Bible and not hearing the Word of God. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. In Mark 7, 9. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, and verse 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Jesus taught to the Jews that they were rejecting God's word to keep their own traditions. They had not received him as Savior. They had not seen that his words were the very word of God. The word declares men are without excuse in Romans chapter 1. And that list, beginning with verse number 17, where God says men turn to idols and they turned away from how God made them, male and female, and didn't marry male and female. They married men with men and women with women. Have you ever heard of that happening anywhere? Gender rejection is a rejection of the Word of God. Jesus said in the beginning, God made them male and female. He didn't add anything else. There was not a third gender. It's male or female, how you're born. And to reject that is to reject the Word of God. Men reject God's Word because they don't like what it says. They don't like it telling them they're sinful. They don't like it telling them they're wrong. What they need to understand is that is the mercy of God to show them their sin so they confess it to God and believe on Jesus and be saved and delivered from the sin that they are practicing.
Amen.
The Bible is written with purpose to authenticate the divinity of Jesus Christ. It's written to give faith. It's written to reveal the judgment to come. So we will be aware that there is a judgment coming and that we don't want to be in that judgment and all the horrible things that are going to happen. And the way to be delivered from that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will rescue you. He's going to deliver us from this present evil world in which we live and take us to heaven to be with him forevermore. The Word of God, John 20, 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It gives hope to man. Hope that comes, Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It relates to human experience as a warning, 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. What things is that talking about in 1 Corinthians 10, 11? It's talking about Israel in the wilderness when they turned away from God, and many of them died in the wilderness as a result of their lack of faith and their unbelief in doing what God told them to do. God is long-suffering so that people can be saved. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, 9. Now let me read verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The times are passing, but there is a judgment to come. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, willing that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. God is going to judge this world. That storm that came through the other night, Fort Mill got 4 inches of rain. And at my house, it thundered and lightning for between 1 and 2 hours. I mean, it was window-rattling thunder and lightning flashing. I had the blinds pulled down and the thin cover over it. But I could see that lightning and lighted up the whole house inside. It was so close and so large. And I thought then, please, dear God, protect us from this storm. Protect our property and our things. Protect the church. Bless your people. And Lord, there's a storm coming that's much worse than that. It's the day of judgment that's coming upon this earth. You say, I don't want to be in that. You don't have to be in that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to be delivered before that day comes upon this wicked earth. The tribulation on the earth will last 7 years at least. 2 3.5-year periods the Bible speaks of. In Revelation 6 through 19, it tells us about all the judgments that will come upon the earth and all the portions of men that will die in those judgments that will come upon the earth. And then it gets to Revelation chapter 20, where after all these things are done, there's going to be a judgment. Revelation 20 and verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works." Don't ever think you hide anything from God. Not a work you've done, not a thought you've thought. God knows what you're doing. And if you don't put it under the blood of Christ, then you're going to give an account for it one day. Verse 13 says, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up, the dead which are in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Do you know that your name's written down in Jesus' book of life? The book of life of the Lamb. If you don't know that, you need to make sure someone here takes the Bible and shows you how to be saved before you leave this place. You're going to stand before God one day, and you don't want to have to stand at the great white throne judgment. You say, well, what about Christians? They do things that are wrong. Yes, but if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we will stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not a judgment for life or death. That's a judgment of rewards. And we'll be rewarded for our faithful service, or we'll lose rewards because of unfaithful things we did. But we won't be going to hell. We'll be going to heaven to be with him forevermore. I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I believe God is keeping us from the hour that will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I think about unsaved people. The Bible calls them earth dwellers. You see, you're an earth dweller because you're never going to be a heaven dweller unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The rapture, to be caught up to be with the Lord, that forcible seizure where Christ will enter the realm of Satan's power and people that follow him. He'll enter that realm and take out of it all of his believers and deliver us from this present evil world in which we live. He's coming back to this earth one day, and he'll fight the battle of Armageddon. He'll set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And life will flourish on earth during that time. There'll be other wars to take place. And then there'll be the great white throne judgment. You say, people in hell, they're not destroyed. They're suffering in punishment for their sins. And they're going to stay there until the great white throne judgment, and they'll be brought up, and their works will cause them to be cast into the lake of fire. The judgment of God is according to truth, Romans 2 and verse number 2. It is according to the fact that it is without escape. There's no escape unless you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and get delivered from it. Thirdly, it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Not the religion, not the works, not the things you could do to earn. None of us could ever earn salvation or deserve what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. It is by grace through faith that we are saved, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Repentance comes because of mercy and grace. In the book of Jude, just one chapter before the book of Revelation, Jude, verse 22 and 23. Let me read verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We need to have compassion on people who are lost and try to give them the gospel and try to encourage them to believe and show them how the Bible will give them faith to hear and believe. But some need to hear the judgment of God, and because of fear, run to the Lord in rescue. Man's heart is hardened by rejecting God. If they reject too long, they might not come to the message of love and forgiveness. Judgment will come according to our deeds in Romans 2 and verse 6. All will be judged by their works. The contentions and disobedience, arguing with God, claiming God's truth is not accurate, and all that will be a part of their judgment. It'll be without respect of persons. It won't matter what you achieve in life. You're going to stand before the judgment of God, and it'll be according to the gospel. The gospel means good news. The good news today is that Jesus died for you to forgive you of your sins. And if you'll by faith humble yourself before him and say, Lord, I see that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself and nobody else can save me. I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and I ask you to save me and forgive me of my sins. And you know what? He does that all the time. Just come to him and believe. And there'll be those who are hypocritical, who've accused others of wrongdoing and done the same themselves. They'll stand before God in the judgment in that day. The Bible's not a book of philosophy, even though it's philosophical. It's not a science book, even though everything about science in it is true and revealed. It's not a history book, but it is accurate in all recorded history within it. Holy men moved by God's Spirit wrote down the infallible words of God. The Bible is truth. Show us the way of salvation. It's difficult for an unsaved person to understand and comprehend, because it is spiritually discerned. To understand the Bible like you need to know the author, Jesus Christ, as Savior. And then he will light up your understanding and enlighten you when you read the Bible to know it is the very Word of God. It's a book of unity and oneness, even though it was written over 1,600-year period of time by over 40 different authors. There's one author for sure. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And he wrote the word so you could know how to be saved. It has the power to reproduce seeds planted and bring forth life. And you can know life by knowing Christ as your Savior. Let us study to show ourselves approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Understanding the dividing of the scripture, the dispensations of how God has never changed, but how he has dealt with man has changed from the Garden of Eden to being put out of the garden to the flood to after the flood to the time of Christ to the start of the church. And now we live in that age of the church, the age of grace, where it's time for you. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Come and believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, bless your people today and help them. If there's someone here lost, help them to see their need to come. Help them not to worry about embarrassment. Help them to find eternal life in Jesus Christ. We pray they'll come in Jesus' name. Amen.